Bless them. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 68, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way, and where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 68.
pleased to read out of God's holy and precious word from the Song of Solomon from chapter 4, but first the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, the first 7 verses. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies, until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, God of heaven, God of the earth, creator of the heavens, creator of the earth, creator of each and every one of us in a creation that was so very, very good, as so that all did answer to that purpose and that thou hadst made it for, that it was in thine eyes so good and so pure and of such great value and of a good purpose, and that a fall has been so, so evil, that was against thee, that was a rebellion against all thy commandments and against thy headship, and against who that thou art as our creator, and thou knowest what we have become through it, that we are now, as thy servant did say in thy holy word, without hope and without God in this world. And Lord, thou knowest each one of us that we each have a hope, but it is not a hope which is a good hope, and because we hope mostly for another day, we hope mostly for tomorrow, we hope mostly that we will be spared yet, and we put far away from us the evil day, the day that must come, and because of our own sin. Lord, there is a secret in our heart, as secretly thou dost say, that we do think in our heart, as secretly we say, and that our houses shall be for a, and our dwelling places to all generations, and we do not believe thee, and we do not believe we do not believe our own wretchedness, our own sin. nor that we will be punished. Lord, we need to be converted. Great was our creation. Great was our fall. But greater is thy redemption. For thou art stronger than we are. Thou art stronger than Satan is. And thou art able to overcome the resistance that lives in our heart. The rebellion that lives in our heart. When we do not want to be converted, when we do want to follow after the desires of our flesh, when Satan's temptations still draw our hearts, and we are inclined to every evil, O Lord, that we may be given to see it within ourselves, that thy Spirit may show it unto us, and that we may learn to abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee. Lord, that thou would show unto us our own sin, that we may be given a true repentance, and that there may be tears shed in our hearts, that the love of thee may be poured out from above, that we may be drawn by thy Holy Spirit unto our Maker and unto our Creator, that we may be given to see, to behold, and to feel, that hope which we do hope upon is an empty hope, that it is a vain hope, that it is a hope that shall not be fulfilled, that it was never fulfilled for anyone, and never shall be fulfilled for anyone, that the devil is the father of lies. Lord, we need our eyes to be opened. We need our ears to be opened. And we need our heart to be opened. And thou hast promised unto thy own people that thou wilt get thee unto the mountain of myrrh, and to the hill of frankincense. O, we beseech thee that thou wouldst in this hour give us to feel something of the truth of that promise, that thou mayst be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us, that new ones may be born in Zion, and whether young or old, to become as a little child, that may be so dependent upon thee, that may desire that thou wouldest take us by heart and by hand, and lead us into all thy truth, that may cry unto thee in all of our need, and that we could not take care of ourselves, that we cannot pay our own debt, that we cannot live as thou dost command us to live, and that we are in every way weak and poor and insufficient, O Lord, that we may need thee, and that thy Spirit may work a poverty amidst all our supposed riches. Take them away, Lord, in our own eyes. And when we do say, all these things have I kept from my youth up, oh, that thou may give to us to see that it is all self-righteousness, and that nothing of it can stand in thy most holy sight, and that thou hast provided a way that is so free, a way that is so full, a way that is so complete, a way wherein the greatest, the chiefest of sinners may come again into thy blessed favor, into thy blessed communion. Lord, work that work in us that we cannot work in ourselves, and give hope unto the hopeless, and take away the false hopes of those that to hope upon something that will never be fulfilled, look upon us if we do deceive ourselves with a hope that is not in thy dear Son truly. Lord, there is no one so deceitful as Satan, and our own heart, and deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But we do not see it, we do not believe it, unless thou givest us eyes therefore. And wilt thou open our eyes and give that thy truth may enter into our hearts, that our affections may be drawn by thee, that we may be given again an understanding heart, and a desire and a choice, the blessed choice, that choice for thee, to follow thee, to love thee, to serve thee with all our heart and all our might and all our strength. Remember each and every one of thy own people. Thou dost give a new birth, and the wind bloweth where it listeth. We hear the sound, but we do not know from what way it cometh and where it goeth. And it is in the life of thy own children so. They have no command, Lord. They are so dependent upon thee that thou wouldst come again. And when they have forfeited everything time and time again, and they can speak of what thou hast done, but Lord, then they need and desire that thou wouldst come again, and that they may feel the power, thy power on every side, that they may see the beauty of the Lord in the temple of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. Lord, that thou may so look upon each and every one of us, each with a soul, each with our state and with our condition, but each of us here in thy house of prayer. And Lord, thou knowest it may be just a matter of form, just a matter of custom, a good custom that our mother and father have taught us. Lord, we can come up with nothing more. We can only come with all our own sin and carnality. And we can give nothing to thee, because our best works, they are still stained, filled with sin. But Lord, take reasons out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy, and to spread thy healing wings over us as a congregation, that thou may go from heart to heart, and that thou would work with might and with power. Wilt thou care for our youth and our children when Satan's temptations are so strong? And then especially in days, in a time, and in a land of such prosperity as we may have. Lord, thou knowest that we are so inclined to believe the devil. But all that thou may give also in the days of youth, that we may have eyes to behold the truth, and that the reality of life may be seen and known and felt, and that thou would draw even the young ones to thy blessed footstool. Bless our school and all that labor therein from day to day. Remember our mission field, those that labor there, one also in our midst, a worker who has come for the funeral of his grandmother. Wilt thou remember him, O Lord, in the many labors that he does perform in that place? Bless thou the work of his hands and all those that are with him, thy servant and the team all together. Give them courage. Give them strength, give them thy Holy Spirit, that together they may bow their knees, and that together, as a little group in a large land, may do thy work, and that thou would show it is thy work,
Give wisdom, give ability, give much grace. And wilt thou supply for each and every one that brings thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world, increase their number. For there are those that are not able to do that work anymore, having served many years in thy service. And now bodily and mental afflictions, Lord, thou knowest them, care for them, but increase also the number of thy truly sent servants. Oh, convert unto thyself, Lord. There is a rising generation. There are many also in our denomination. There is much confusion. There is also a hankering after a different way, a way that is not according to thy holy word, wherein man does not have to be cut off, wherein man has an ability in himself. Lord, it is a way that is so pleasing to our flesh, but it is not the truth. Lord, that thou may give thy truth to be precious unto us, each and every one, also our young people, that they may love it in their heart, and that they may just cry to thee. Lord, teach me in that way, and lead me in the way that thou leadest all thy true people. That is a way to thy glory and to thy honor, and wherein man is nothing, and thou art everything. Bless thy holy word to that end. Forgive and take away our many sins. Remember fathers and mothers and children, families. Lord, thou knowest all and that can take place within a family. Lord, that thou may care for them. Give wisdom to parents to bring up their children and give obedience to father and to mother and by each and every one, children and young people. Because it is the first commandment with promise. Lord, give the heart then to obey as those whom thou hast set over us. And that thou may bless, so bless our families. Remember all that are not married. Remember those who have no children. Remember those who are widows. Be with those that have become old. Each one, each place in life has its own difficulties. Lord, that thou may draw to thy footstool and that that one thing needful may be bound upon each and every heart. Be with those that suffer from addictions. Be with those that are homeless. Remember the poverty in our land. And thou hast given us as such great abundance, Lord, then we may see also, and we may acknowledge thee, and that thou givest it not only, but that thou givest also hearts, and that may desire to support. O Lord, give us thankful hearts, and that thou dost open the hearts, and that thou dost give in the midst of us a love for thee and for thy service, at least in an outward way. Oh, bless, Lord, in thy mercy, with that which we cannot give. Oh, bless thy word that we may try to bring in a little way from week to week. Oh, Lord, we are but a weak instrument, and do strengthen us for our work. Give us ability, give us love, give us thy grace in a rich measure. Oh, that we may also know that thou art our God and that thou art our Father and that we are thy child and that we are thy servant and that, Lord, could it be in the midst of us there may be a rich blessing out of thy right hand. Be with us in this afternoon hour when one more time we will try to bring from this little precious portion of thy holy word. Make it precious unto us. Make thyself precious unto us. Draw us. We will run after thee. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 362, all the stanzas. From out the depths, I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 362. beloved congregation, when the Lord Jesus was asked about the law, we read that he gave a summary of the law. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That was very profitable. A summary of the law. Why so profitable? Because with that summary also was an interpretation of that law. That is, how that law must be seen. How that law must be obeyed. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." What matter? That is the matter of life. What is the conclusion of the whole matter of life? He said, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Thus just in short, thus also very profitable. Why? Because there is a certain interpretation once again. An interpretation of all the duties, what is the sum, and what is that which the Lord is requiring of a man whom he has created upon the face of this earth. They are easy points, congregation, for self-examination for each and every one of us. Do we fear God? Do we keep His commandments? Do we love Him above all? Do we love our neighbor as ourself? The bride spoke about the bridegroom. Many things she spoke to the daughters of Jerusalem. And then she gave a sum. All she said was just in one word. Then she summed it all up. She said, "He is altogether lovely," very profitable. Why? Because that touches now in the heart of God's children from that time until this. A point of self-examination where we ask ourselves, "Is He altogether lovely also unto us?" Our text is also a summary of that which is gone before. It is now a summary of the bridegroom himself after all the commendations that he has given, as we have heard, of his bride. A summary of Christ's estimation of his church. Song of Solomon 4 verse 7 are the words of our text. Song of Solomon 4 verse 7, "And thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee." So far the words of our text. Christ's summary of his estimation of his church. First, the extent of her fairness. "Thou art all fair, my love." Second, the perfection of her fairness. "There is no spot in thee." Christ's summary of his estimation of his church. First, the extent. And second, the perfection of her fairness. Thus, the extent. First, of her fairness. What is that? That means, how far does that beauty that he has been describing in his bride, just how far does that beauty, that fairness in his eyes now extend? Because he has been explaining, and he explains seven things, but then he stops. So what does that mean that he stops? Then it can be because he stops that you say, well, there is nothing more. It is just 7 points that he sees in his bride, and that is all. He can find nothing else, and thus he comes to an end, and thus he ceases to speak. But that is not so, because we read here in the end, indeed, when he ceases, that he gives a summary, that he gives, as it were, a conclusion. He concludes his commendations. He says, thou art all fair, my love. Thus, he says, I have just said a few things, but those few little things are but a representation of what I see in thee. Thou art all fair. That means that thy fairness in my eyes extends to each and every one of thy parts, that there is no part that is not fair in my eyes. The Lord Jesus has bought his church. They are his inheritance. And he has bought that church in its entirety. There is no aspect of their body, there is no aspect of their soul that he has not bought for himself. There is also no aspect that is not renewed, that is not renewed by Christ in his church. Thus, in the creation, it was the entire body, it was the entire soul of man that was all created for the Lord. And now in the redemption, it is the entire body, and it is the entire soul that the Lord is redeeming, that he is renewing for himself. That is a great comfort for the church of God. Why? Because they often go over this world grieving. They grieve over what is left. They grieve over infirmities, as the apostle Paul also had to complain about himself. There are differences among each and every one of their people. So some are like Jacob, who halted upon his thigh, who was a cripple ever since the Lord gave to him the chiefest blessing, ever since the Lord came to him and gave him that assurance that God's children are so looking for. Oh, we live in a day where in the church, then they are saying, oh, then that people, they go on rejoicing, that people, they go on, no, wait a moment. Jacob received that blessing, that God's children's heart that is longing, that is striving for, oh, that I might know even that he is my Father, that he is my God, that I may be established in his church. And it was just at that time that the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh. And thus there is a people that go forth as a cripple. And that is a people that say, oh, I just cannot advance. Oh, then I am a creeping, as it were. I am not able to go forward. There are others. Oh, their eyes are dim. Oh, they say, I cannot see so well. My knowledge that is so very, very small of him. There are others that are slow of speech. Oh, they say, ah, this one there is a child of the Lord. And his mouth is so open, and he can speak, and he can tell of how the Lord has led him. Oh, then he is like a light, and I am no light. Because my mouth that is so closed, I have no freedom. Oh, I feel that I may know these things in my heart, but my heart that is so closed up. Oh, I am of a slow speech. I am of a slow tongue. And they go over this world grieving. Grieving for the infirmities, grieving for the sin that still lies in them, saying, oh, wretched man that I am. Thou art all fair, my love. They are the words of whom? They are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Even him whom they fear to grieve. They are his testimony, and he is the Word. He is the Word of his Father. Thus it is the Word of Christ. It is the Word also of the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Concerning his church, thou art all fair, my love. That is in all of thy parts. That is in thy body, that is in thy soul. There is in my suffering, I have suffered for my church in my body. I have suffered for my church in my soul. There is no part of my human nature in which there was no suffering. Thus my spirit is sent out to receive, that I may receive my inheritance, and it is sent out to renew. It is sent out to renew every single part of that true people of the Lord, of those in whom my work is wrought, and there will be nothing, no part of that people that is going to be left behind. How much complaint does that people not have of inward corruption? Thus, congregation, what no man in the whole world, no man in the church is able to see, but it is known to them. It is a corruption that lives in their own heart. It is felt by them. It is grieved by them. And then people, they can sometimes sing their praises. Oh, they say, oh, you are a child of God. And that does them no benefit. No benefit. And why not? Oh, because they know that man sees on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And they say, oh man, you may say that, but my heart, oh my heart, you do not know what is living in my heart. And now there is no part. There is no part that the Lord does not see. Other men may not see it. Say, I know what that is. But there is no part of that heart that the Lord does not see. Along with that people, David said, Lord, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Thus David felt that. That is where the church feels that her corruption is. How often do we not feel that? We come in our Sunday clothing. We come and we sit. We come and we stand. We say we are in the holy house of the Lord. And we all are in our Sunday best. You ever feel that, young people? You say, I am in my Sunday best. That is good. That is right. When we come up to the house of prayer. You know what I read in God's word? Asaph says, I was as a beast before thee. You ever come through the door of God's house in your Sunday best and you say to the Lord, oh, in my heart, I am a beast. I am a beast. for all the iniquity and for all the sin that is living in my heart, and that no person in the church and no person in the whole world is able to see. Thou art all fair, my love. No, they are not the words of a man. Do you know whose words they are? They are the words of the Logos. They are the words of the Logos. They are the words of the Lord. They are the words of the true God of heaven and of earth. You know whose words they are? They are the words of Him whose eyes we read are as a flame of fire. They can look right through that Sunday best. And there is no dark place in our heart that He is not able to see. And now of that church, He who sees through everything, and He who knows everything, He is the one who says it of His bride. He says, behold, thou art fair, my love. And He does not only say this about the extent to every part, but He says this also about the perfection that is our second thought. The perfection of that fairness. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. What does that mean? Oh, that speaks about the perfection of her renewal. There is not a single spot. That there is not a single blemish in her. That is in the first place a requirement. It is a requirement of the Lord. It is a requirement of the holy and the righteous God, that we may be given to dwell with Him, that we would be able to commune with Him. Then there is only one thing, a condition, that is that there can come nothing that is filthy, nothing that is sinful, is able to come into His presence. He cannot dwell with the least sin in our deeds, in our words, in our thoughts, in the motives, in the desires, in the intentions, and everything that lives in our hearts. There can be nothing. There must be a perfect purity as He is pure in order for us to come into and to remain in His presence. When Satan sinned, he was cast out. When our first parents sinned, they were also cast out of the garden of communion and the presence of the Lord. Do you ever feel that? That you cannot come into His presence. Do you ever loathe yourself to see something of the filthiness over and against that holy, that separated, that righteous God of heaven and of earth? There is no spot in thee. Oh, that is now the aim. That is the aim of a soul that is born again. Because they see that there is no spot in Him. Oh, then they say, there may also not be a spot in me. And then He will try to cleanse Himself of every spot that is living inside of Him. Oh, if I want to receive His favor, if I want to receive His communion, if I want to receive His blessing, then I must be without sin. Do you know that life? Or are you a stranger of that life? That is not a good sign. If we are a stranger of that life, And why not? Read the catechism. Read our beloved catechism. And in our beloved catechism, you will find the reality. The reality of where that it begins when the Lord converts a man. And where does our catechism say that it begins? Can we ourselves make this satisfaction? That is where it begins. I do not say that is where we point you. I do not say that is where you must begin. But I say that is where it begins. Because that is the way that the Lord is instructing a person. Because we need to know by experience something. What is that? That is our misery. Misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Young people, I hope that you will always stay with that doctrine. And not in word only. No, we can give lip service to that doctrine, but that you will stay there in the practice. Oh, if the Lord will instruct you in your heart. If the Lord will give you to know what your own misery is. And if the Lord will reveal to you the way of deliverance, then you will understand it. Oh, you will see it. You will feel it. The necessity of what? Oh, to know it by experience. And to know what by experience? That is, that I cannot make this satisfaction. Can I make this satisfaction? No. By no means. How do you know that? Did you ever learn that? Did you ever try that? To make that satisfaction, did you ever desire that you may make that satisfaction before God? But we have never tried. We only know in our mind. Right, young people, children? We only know that in our mind. Your father and mother can say this or that, or your teacher, and you say, let me try it. And then they will give you a time to try it, and then you may experience it. That's right. That is what we need to know also for our own soul. Oh, that impossibility. When the Lord cured people in the world, went around and he cured people. What kind of people did he cure? Oh, you say, they were all different. One was blind, one was deaf, one was dumb, one was a leper, and even dead. All different. Yes, in many ways different. And in one way, all the same. And what was that? They could not help themselves. No one. Oh, how many ways has the Lord to instruct us in this? But if we do not come there, we do not need a Savior. There is no preciousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. To a man who has never come to a full end of his own strength. Oh, there is no spot in thee. And they try to come there, that there may be no spot in me. And they cannot come there. They cannot come there. Can you come there? But they need to come there. They need to come there. If there will be a coming back again into that favor of the Lord, then they need to come there. There is no spot in me. And I cannot come there. What is that? That is an impossibility, isn't it? Oh, then they are in a place that they cannot deliver themselves. There is no spot in thee. No, they say, oh, that is just the opposite. Oh, though thou take thee much nitre and much soap, the Lord says, thine iniquity is marked before me. Oh, they say, the more nitre and the more soap that I take, oh, I cannot wash it off.
I become like Naaman the Syrian, like Miriam. She goes out and she is a leper from the head to the foot. No spot in thee? No, it is just the opposite in my life. Oh, the most holy duties coming up unto the house of prayer. I cannot do that right. Oh, what I do does not have a right motive. What I do does not have perfection. There is so much in it that is sinful. Oh, it is all sin from the top to the bottom. No spot in thee. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. No spot in thee. The devil, he said concerning Job, just take away all that he hath, and he will curse thee today. Oh, I'm afraid that is in me. If the Lord would take away now all my blessings, I think I would. Oh, I am capable of doing that. Congregation, this word is not the word of the devil. This word is not the word of Solomon concerning himself. It is not the word of Paul concerning himself. It is not the word of the church concerning herself. It is the word of Christ concerning his bride. What is now the importance of what the devil says? What is now the importance of what man says? What is now the importance of what I say myself, of myself? If he says, there is no spot in thee, is that not now the only judgment that matters? The estimation of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What does Paul say? He says, it is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Let us sing Psalter 143, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Against thee only have I sinned, done evil in thy sight. Lord, in thy judgment thou art just, and in thy sentence right. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 143. Thank you.
Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in the Christ summary of his estimation of his church in the extent and in the perfection of her fairness. It is the end. It is the summary. It is the conclusion. It is the realization of the decree of the Father, the fulfillment of the work of the Son, and of the application of that Holy Spirit. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. That is the salvation of that church of God. It is the complete deliverance from the fall, all the consequences, and also the cause. Zechariah, in his prophecy, he said, in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. What is that, a fountain? Ah, you say, that is a source, that is a spring. What does a fountain represent? It represents a great abundance, and not only an abundance, but an abundance that continues. It is a spring. It is a fountain. It is never done running. Thus, representing an overabundant supply of what man needs in this life, even for his very life itself. Oh, that is a fountain that the Lord spoke of when he appeared in the book of Revelation to his servant John. And then he spoke also there of a fountain. He says, I will give to him that is athirst to drink of the fountain of the water of life freely. What does that mean? A fountain of the water of life. That is those who are perishing. Those, because we need water to live. We cannot live long at all without water. And thus a fountain of water, that is a fountain that is sufficient for everyone. You say the whole community, the whole world, everyone can come and to drink, because it is a fountain which is ever flowing. And thus Zechariah speaks about a fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness. What is that? Thus we have a picture of the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse the sin of every single person in the whole world. Not that it does do that, but it's sufficient. It is a fountain that is enough. There is sufficient there to cleanse every single person. What did Paul say? He says, where sin abounded, he says, grace did much more abound. What did Judas do, young people, when he saw the greatness of his sin? What did he do? We read he went and he hanged himself. Awful. That is now what the devil does. That is where he sends you. There is nothing but despair that we are going to follow, because we read Satan had entered into Judas. And when we will follow that way, it is a way that ends in an eternal despair. What is now the work of the Spirit of the Lord? That is exactly the opposite. What does he do to a man who despairs in himself? The place where he brings him to see the reality, where he brings him to see the truth concerning himself, his own death, his own iniquity, his liability to an eternal punishment. What does that Spirit of the Lord do? He does not send him to despair. No, just the opposite. Opens his eyes. open thou mine eyes that I may see, ask the Lord that. He opens his eyes to see a fountain. A fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness. What does he see then? Oh, though he is in himself the chief of the sinners. We sing that sometimes. Oh, his grace. His grace is as wide as the ocean. Did you ever see a mountain? You've seen the mountains. Did you ever see the ocean? Can't see to the other side. That mountain of sin, how that is appearing in the life of God's people. That they cannot come over that mountain. That they can never bring down that debt. And now throw that mountain into the sea. And you cannot see it. No, that mountain is drowned in that sea. All the Lord is opening to that people. He is revealing unto that people that it is a fountain over against the greatness of their iniquity to deliver their soul from sin. And then, oh, then there is nothing left of that sin anymore. So full and so abundant is that fountain. Oh, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Oh, there is no fault that is remaining in the life of God's people that will separate them from the love of Christ, not in their parts, and not also in the degree. Hezekiah says that thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. What does that mean? That expression. To be behind the back. To be behind the back means it cannot be seen. Means that it is completely out of view. It is as if it does not exist. I cannot see it. I cannot perceive its existence because it is behind the back. What does that mean? Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. There is not a single sin of the true church of God that is laying in front, that is laying before the face of the Lord, that is experienced also sometimes in the life of that people, how it is by faith they may know for a moment how it is from the Lord's side. When they may look and look, and when they cannot find a single sin. Paul speaks about that. He speaks about having no more conscience of sins. Imagine that. Imagine that. We know what it means to be innocent of a certain deed. When you are innocent, boys and girls, oh, then you're not afraid, are you? There is no fear. There is no guilt. That is innocence. And then we feel guilt. And we know there is a great difference between guilt and innocence. And now the Apostle Paul, he says those sacrifices of the Old Testament, they had to keep going. Why? Because there was always, they were not able to clear the conscience of a person. But he says, now this sacrifice that the Lord Jesus has given upon that cursed tree, oh, when that may be applied, when that may be received in the life of his people, then there is no more conscience of sins. Then they see it the way God sees it. They see it even the way the judge sees it. They see it in the way that the Father sees it. They see it in the way that Christ himself sees it. No more conscience of sins. What does that mean? If there is no sin, then there is nothing that is standing anymore between God and my soul. Nothing. Because it is sin that has come in between. And it is sin for which the devil was cast out. And it was sin for which our first parents were cast out. And now when that sin is taken away, that is all behind the back. Oh, then there is nothing before him. Nothing before his face. And there is nothing that is able anymore to stand in the way. Oh, then you understand. Then also the fears are taken away, aren't they? Of that people who may be established in it. Is that not a blessed thought, people of the Lord? When you may be so established in that, and that you may know for your own heart and soul that your sin is taken away, and that you are able to stand then before your judge. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. That is not only taking away the guilt, but that is also taking away the pollution. All that is not complete in this life, that is sure. It is not perfect in degree, but it is still perfect. It is perfect concerning what God sees. He does not see it. It is behind his back. It is there, but never more seen by him. It is taken away by him, and one day, and it is perfect in that regard also, concerning what he is soon going to do for that people. When corruption is going to put on incorruption, and then that perfection of their innocence is going to be completely in the life of that people forever and forever. Oh, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Is there anything, congregation? Is there anything in all of that, in this beautiful, this precious book of the Holy Word of God, is there now anything that touches your heart? That touches your heart? Because that is now what we desire. If I could touch it, but I cannot touch it. Does the Lord touch it? Does the Lord touch your heart with what he is giving unto his own people? Do you know what the Lord said by Isaiah? He says, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Paul, the persecutor, a wicked Manasseh, an unclean woman, a woman who was a sinner with an issue of blood running out, an internal bleed that is a world of iniquity, all from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises, putrefying sores, dead in sins and in trespasses, a rebellious house. Come, he says. Come and let us reason together. Those are welcome to him. He says to draw near to him. No, not the righteous, not the righteous. Because he says, I am not come to call the righteous. The rich, Hannah says, they are sent empty away.
But now those who are sinners, he says. Oh, he says, come and let us reason. Those who have sinned as scarlet, who have sinned as red as crimson. Do you know what he says? He says, come. Let us reason together. Oh, congregation, you just bring it to him. Bring it to him. All the filthiness, all the wretchedness, all the guilt. Come, he says, lay it before me. Tell me what it is. Make a confession of it. Oh, just say, I have forfeited everything. Say, I am not worthy, Lord, of the least of all thy notice. I am not worthy of thy attention, that thou would give anything unto me. Oh, come there in your impossibility. Oh, say, Lord, I cannot cleanse myself. Oh, I cannot pay my debt. It is so much greater than I am able to bring forth. Oh, then the Lord says, come with it. There shall not be a single blemish. There shall not be a single blemish. There shall not be a single spot. No spot, he says, as white as snow. Nothing to interrupt the cleanliness. Nothing to spoil the whiteness. Not a single spot. The apostle says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Past sin, present sin, future sin. Sin without, sin within, sin of commission, sin of omission, sin in thought, sin in word, sin in deed, sin, transgression, iniquity, departing, vanity, carnality, everything. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Oh no, then there will be never any reason to be rejected of the Father. Why not? Because there are two sides to justice. Two sides. On the one side, it is necessary for a just judge to punish the guilty. And on the other side, it is necessary for a just judge to acquit the innocent. And when the sin congregation is all behind his back, oh, then there is only one way for that just judge. And then that justice is standing on the side of that people. And that holiness, that separation that is living within that people and making them acceptable and desirable unto the Lord. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. It is the end. It is the conclusion of the matter, of the work of the Father, of the work of the Son, of the work of the Holy Spirit. It is his fruit. It is now that blessed harvest. It is a declaration of the judgment of God. It cannot be changed. That case is decided. And this is the outcome of everything. It is the fulfillment of his own decree. And the devil can roar, and he can come against the people, and he can contradict. But the Lord says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Baptized, washed, heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, a priesthood that will never end after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and you would not, and you would not.
Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. O congregation, is that not an awful judgment? Well, we will not. And we will not. That is the reality. That is the reality. It is not something we can just change, no. That is what we are. Because we have a disposition that will never admit that we are wrong. That will never admit that we are a sinner. That we have done evil in our first parents. And that we are evil. That we are wicked. That is who we are. Oh, that we need to be born again. And yet the Lord is calling. He is calling each and every one. And we have ears. Oh, that we may have ears also to hear. Because we have also a responsibility. The Lord says, turn ye. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why would ye die, O house of Israel? Only confess. Only confess. We read the Lord waits to be gracious. He's waiting to be gracious. What is grace? What is grace? That is to deliver a man who is not able to help himself and who does not deserve to be delivered. That is grace. The Lord is waiting for that. Oh, that he may find him here and there in the midst of the congregation. No, the Lord is greater than that. Oh, that he might find each and every one of us in our inner chamber, a people who have sinned against God, who are sinful in our very existence, who cannot change ourselves, and who do need a Savior. Not just a helper, no, but a Savior for our poor soul. Oh, that we may come in true confession at his blessed footstool. Come and let us reason together. Oh, congregation, he says, I will wash you. I will cleanse you. And I will do it with great delight. And I will receive you again unto my Father, saying, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot touch our own heart. And we cannot touch the heart of anyone else. But thou who hast promised, and that thou wouldst get thee to the mountain of myrrh, and to the hill of frank incense, where that sweetness goes forth. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, so to bless thy word, and that we have been considering in these past weeks. Oh, it is so beautiful. It is so precious. Oh, Lord, make it so unto each and every one, and that our hearts may break, and that we may turn from our iniquity. And that we may be drawn, not after the ways of evil and of the devil, but oh, that thy spirit may draw us. For there is a hope that will be satisfied. Oh, Lord, remember us in thy mercy, forgiving all that was amiss and sinful in thy most holy sight, and washing us in that great fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness. Bring us safely to our homes. Be with us in the week to come. Each one of us goes our own way. Lord, there are ways of danger. There are always
things that are in our life and that can be for coming against us. Oh, that thou may protect each life, and wilt thou give also a desire, and that we may be protected from sin and the temptations of the prince of darkness. Bring us safely home. Bring us with desire next week in thy house. And wilt thou care for all the needy in thy mercy? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 83, all the stanzas. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. And what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter number 83.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.